That's an impersonal sound made by an indispensable impersonal machine. But you respond to it in a very personal way. You get out of bed. You respond to it in a hurry because you know that 1 hour after you hear that sound, you'll hear a sound like this. And when you hear a sound like that, you're supposed to be in the vicinity of noises like these. You are a factory worker in a large industrial community. You live in an apartment building in the sooty heart of a big city. You've lived there for 10 years, but you don't know the people across the hallway from you. You've worked in the same factory for 10 years, but you've never seen your employer. You don't even know where he lives, and you don't care. But you do know and care about this. Miles and miles of buses, trucks, trolleys, and automobiles. An obstacle course of steel, concrete, and carbon monoxide that leaves each day a casualty list of utterly wasted hours. It's an impersonal life, punctuated by impersonal sounds and the rubbing of strange elbows. These are but a few of the irritations which impose themselves on a life lived in a highly industrial community. There are exceptions. But whether you are the exception or the rule, think about this for a moment. What would you think if someone should tell you there's an industrial community where everyone is an exception? This community is not an experimental utopia. It started nearly a century ago in the wake of the retreating Indian and grew slowly, steadily. It is now as thoroughly dominated by industry as any community in the United States. The alarm clocks, the factory whistles and machines are all there, but the men who respond to them are different. They own their homes, and their windowsills are not covered with soot. They know their neighbors and their employer. They went to school with him. They call him by his first name. Listen now to the story of this community as told by the people who live there.
The Wisconsin College of the Air presents the profile of West Bend, the third documentary program in a recorded series about the people who live in the cities and towns of our state. And here is your narrator-producer, Carl Schmidt.
Traveling north from Madison to Beaver Dam and east on Highway 33 past the Horicon Marsh to the Milwaukee River, we found the biggest little city in Wisconsin. That's what they call it. And you can't very well dispute that claim, because if you don't live there, you haven't the authority to dispute it. And if you do live there, you're inclined to make the claim yourself. What motivates a claim like that? Well, the reasons can be as intangible as the smiles on people's faces, or as tangible as a brick chimney. The answers are hard to find and harder still to express in words. Listen closely to the people of West Bend talking about their community. Tune your ear to their inflections, to how they speak, as well as what they speak.
I've been here in West Bend almost 50 years. But after I'd been in West Bend a few months, I felt that this was the place where I wanted to live. Now, why was it? I at once sensed a feeling of amity, we'll say, good fellowship. And I think through 50 years of experience, I have never seen it subside. I've talked with people all along the line, ever since I've been here. And I found that the people that come here as young folks have the same feeling that I had 50 years ago. Now, there must be something to it.
There must be something to it. That statement by Judge F.W. Bucklin, whose name was mentioned more than any other, is a man to talk with when you want to learn about West Bend. There are many things to it, we learned, and most of them begin with this.
communities of West Bend that employ the people that make the products that the industry sell, that brings in the money to pay the people so that they can spend it to raise their families, to buy the food and the clothes that keeps the merchants busy. The money that builds the churches and the schools and builds the parks and paves the street comes from the people industry employs. The payroll from industry in West Bend runs to approximately $8 million a year. A very, very large percentage of that is poured directly into the city of West Bend through some medium or other. That's what makes West Bend tick.
The tangible elements of prosperity in a small, highly industrialized community. A community supporting and supported by nearly 20 manufacturing industries, employing more than 2,800 people out of a total of about 8,000. The man you heard just a moment ago was Carl Pick, president of the Pick Industries, one of the men responsible for West Bend's industrial prominence. Industry is a calculated thing. It doesn't come by chance. It has to build on something that already exists. It doesn't make something out of nothing. West Bend grew from a river and a road. The road was between Milwaukee and Fondulac, and West Bend was the halfway mark, a natural stopping-off place. The river, the Milwaukee, was a small one, but it furnished enough power for sawmills and grist mills. Then the railroads came, making distant raw material available and bringing German settlers, trained in manual skills and possessing careful, painstaking business practices. These were the things that started West Bend on its way to industrialization. One of the dominant influences in West Bend's history is today almost completely submerged. You may detect a little nostalgia, a little sadness in this statement by Michael Gale, the mayor of West Bend.
In 1904, when I came over here, most everybody on the street and in the factories and all over talked German. But you hardly hear any of it anymore now.
Now you only notice the German influence in a few colloquial expressions, or when you read the names in the telephone directory. Or if you visit the Enger Kress Company, they'll tell you the first leather workers came directly from Stuttgart. At the West Bend Aluminum Company, they'll tell you how the first pots and pans fashioned in West Bend were made of aluminum imported from Germany. They told us with a chuckle that West Bend leaves nothing to be desired unless you have some non-combustible garbage to get rid of. Then they said you turn to Barton. Innocently, we asked if Barton was a dump, and the chuckle grew to a laugh. The laugh's motivation was revealed when we talked with Tony Starrell, clerk of the village of Barton and clerk of Washington County. Here he is, telling of the exchange of public services between West Bend and Barton.
They burn our combustible garbage in their incinerator. However, on the other hand, we do something for the city of West Bend. We furnish the finest dump in this area for their non-combustible garbage.
One might think that a village of 900 people, close enough to West Bend to share garbage disposal facilities, would dissolve its government and join West Bend. Here's what Mayor Gale said about it.
West Bend would like to have Barton. Of course, they have a separate municipality up there, and they like it, and they eventually probably will come in.
The Bartonians like things as they are, or as Tony Starrell puts it.
Why should we get married as long as we get along so well together courting?
A more tangible reason concerns taxes.
I think as far as taxes go, it would be a little cheaper. We do have a rate of about $9 less than the city of West Bend, and our assessment is based on the same schedule.
That's a situation you can find in hundreds of communities across the United States. A small town nestling on the fringe of a larger one, maintaining a separate identity because of lower taxes. But pride is just as important as tax savings, especially in Barton. For Barton is older than West Bend. The younger town grew faster, perhaps because it lies on more level ground, more favorable to building factories. Nobody seems to know exactly. And nobody is going to bother about the reasons for disproportionate growth as long as that growth takes place in harmony.
You're coming in too soon.
When you use the word harmony in West Bend, you may be talking about labor management relations, West Bend Barton relations, or just plain relations, or just plain harmony. The barbershop quartet is the most prevalent type of musical organization in West Bend. The quartet is a practical little group. It doesn't require a director, and nobody has to have an outstanding voice. All you have to do is harmonize. And they're used to that, whether they're singing, working, or just walking down the street. It's one of those intangible things that makes a good community. Dr. E. L. Bernhardt, city health officer, expressed it this way.
When you live in West Bend, you're not living in West Bend alone. You have your friends, and practically everyone in West Bend is your friend, with your exception.
Bring me some pneumonia, cause I fear I'm gonna faint. I'm just a suffocating with delight.
America is a nation of national pastimes. Only in a community of first and second generation immigrants will you ordinarily find unusual forms of recreation. If certain sports are emphasized more in one community than in another, the difference is generally caused by geography. Geography has afforded West Bend a lake, Big Cedar Lake, big enough for sailing. Besides sailboats, Big Cedar contains a healthy population of wall-eyed pike which refuse to strike. Hence, West Bend probably contains more frustrated pike fishermen than any town in Wisconsin. Compensating for the reluctant pike are the hungry trout planted in streams near town by the Conservation Department. The rolling wooded hills near West Bend furnish excellent cover for small game and golf balls. The sixth hole at the West Bend Country Club is famous and infamous, a challenge to a good golfer and a nemesis to an ordinary human being. A man who tackles it frequently, judging by the vividness of his description, is Dave Rolfs.
For example, if we take number six, which I guess is the Jonah of most people who play out there, if your drive is of 250 yards, you're all right. That is, if it's straight and it's far out. Then your second shot, you approach a high bunker, and on the right of you there's a woods, on the left there's a woods. Now, if you can clear this bunker with a long, straight second wood shot, incidentally, the hole is close to 600 yards long, you're in a good position for your third shot. Now, the third shot revolves the woods to the right, and the woods to the left, and the woods in front of you. So besides having to hit a straight ball, you also have to hit a ball that is neither too long nor too short. By this time, if you're on the green in three, you can pick up your ball and take a par and not worry about it, because nobody will call you on it.
Industry, looming as large as it does in West Bend, can be expected to have its effect on nearly every phase of community life, especially government. Perhaps the most important effect is this one, pointed out by Clyde Schlamer, former mayor of West Bend.
The thing I enjoyed most about my experience with industry and business while I was mayor was the fact that having good progressive industries in town brings in a lot of people who are well-educated and who are community-minded, and it gives a reservoir of intelligent citizenship from which to make a selection for a good, constructive municipal service.
But before industrialization can take place, Mr. Schlamer implied, the government must adopt a positive policy.
I think West Bend was one of the few communities that assessed industry on a formula basis, based on their income tax reports. And we did it feeling that some fair ratio ought to be established between assessing factories and assessing homes and assessing business places. And it ought to be fair so that industry's share of the taxes would be in proportion to what it should be and without any penalty being imposed.
This brand of practical cooperation is not restricted to leaders in government and industry. It depends upon a feeling of responsibility that springs from everyone. This is how Mr. Schlamer explained it.
I found in the 8 years I was around here as mayor that most everyone realized in West Bend that you can't have a progressive city and a growing city unless you have good progressive industry, and it's everybody's responsibility to make the town a healthy place for an industry to locate.
We're in the machine shop now of the vocational school at West Bend. Could you give me your name, sir?
Name's Irv Christensen. I'm instructor here in the industrial classes.
Could you tell us some of the operations that we're seeing around here? I presume these are students in the vocational school,
yes,
is that right?
Yes, these are machine shop apprentices, also fire mechanics, air mechanics, taking welding. The machines now in use are lathes, milling machines, shapers, filers, grinders, also hacksaws and welders. They're under a contract with the Industrial Commission of the state and also with the employer. The employer must see to it that they have the program that they must have to become the machinist, the welder, or the tool maker, the thing that they set out to do. Now then, this training program in the vocational school, together with the training they get from the employer, will give them the training they need to become the full-fledged tool and die maker and machinist that they set out to become.
We went through the machine shop and talked with an aircraft mechanic who flew missions on a B-26 in the ETO. He's now taking a welding course and working with the Air Service Control. We asked him, what happened when you got out of service? Did you immediately come back to vocational school here?
No, I started in the University of Wisconsin and had a little accident with my knee, so I had to start working. And then I got married, and then I got down here at Air Service Control.
And what exactly do you plan on doing after you finish your vocational program here?
Well, I'm going to stick with Air Service Control. It's a good organization, and I'm going to try to go with them right on through.
The vocational school, with its extensive apprentice training program, is one of industry's most valuable assets in West Bend because it pairs many years off the bridge between skilled and unskilled labor. And it assures a highly efficient labor force. Typical of the people who comprise the nucleus of skilled labor is a man we met in West Bend's largest factory. Here at the West Bend Aluminum Company now, we're talking with Mr. Ben Heiding. Mr. Heiding, could you tell us what your job is here?
I'm a die setter.
And how long have you lived in West Bend?
I've been in West Bend now about 17 years.
Where did you come from?
Our home is up at Stanley, Wisconsin, Chippewa County.
What brought you down here?
I come down here just during the Depression. I got a job here and started working here and been here ever since.
Mr. Heiding, we'd like to talk to you a bit, too, about the labor situation in West Bend. Tell us a little bit about what unions are active here. For instance, what union are you connected with, are you?
We're connected with the UAWF of L.
Could you give us your opinion of what labor-management relations are here in West Bend? What you think they are. Are they good? Are they poor? Fair?
I think they're very good here in West Bend.
What are some of the reasons for that, in your opinion?
I think it's cooperation from both sides.
And both sides cooperate because they have good reasons for wanting to cooperate. One excellent reason for labor's cooperation is job security. Here's what Mr. Heiting told us about unemployment.
The unemployment in this town is very small. We're working two shifts here at this time, 47-and-a-half-hour shifts a week, and I'm sure that's pretty near a record for this time anywhere in the country.
That remarkable freedom from unemployment dates back as far as you care to trace West Bend history. It even includes the Great Depression of the 30s. Remember that Ben Heiting came here during the Depression to get a job. Here is Mayor Mike Gale's recollection of the Depression years.
Even at that time, there weren't any factories closed up altogether. They mostly all worked shorter hours, but they all gave their help enough employment so that they could keep on.
Mayor Gale was referring to one of West Bend's most important characteristics. Judge Buckland also stressed it.
Some industries were affected adversely at different times from what others were, and there seemed to be always one or two that could take up the slack. and keep going. The eggs were not all in one basket.
Diversification.
Basically, our products consist of personal leather goods.
Diversification.
We make aluminum cooking utensils, aluminum giftware, copper giftware, stainless steel utensils, and some carbon steel items.
Diversification.
Farm implements consisting of forage harvesters, unloading equipment, solid fillers, and hammer mills.
Diversification.
We have just developed an animal vac which does for the animal what a good cleaning does for yourself. It's a strange thing, but they kind of lean into it when you come along with a cleaner. In fact, we have pictures of cows that wanted to break out of the stall so as to get close to the cleaner.
Diversification through imagination. To these products add elevators and beer, woolen goods, washing machines and pancake syrup, cheese boxes, caskets, and concrete blocks. Diversification. Almost a synonym for West Bend industry. They're proud of it and they're thankful for it. Not only does it exist among the various industries, but through special effort within specific industries.
When the seasonal requirements for certain products are over with, the seasonal demand for other types of products come in to fill the production void, so to speak.
Walter Malzahn, Executive Vice President of the West Bend Aluminum Company. But in spite of these efforts, West Bend would probably have a certain amount of transient, unstable labor, except for one very unusual characteristic, described here by Steve O'Mara, President of the Chamber of Commerce.
The seasonal workers that come to work in industry in fall and stay through the winter and then go back on the farms in spring take the place of what ordinarily would be marginal workers and workers that would be floaters and wouldn't hold a steady job in any community.
West Bend industry has another unique characteristic, or should we say unique blessing, because perhaps it's even more important than diversification in making West Bend a good community to live in. It's heard so often, in so many conversations, that it stands out from one's memory like a cameo. It stands by itself, without extraneous comment. This is how we heard it from the people of West Bend.
To a large extent, practically all of the industries are home-owned and managed by local people who were born and raised in this area.
One of the reasons I believe that West Bend has been so outstanding industrially is due to the fact that all of these industries in West Bend have been started in West Bend by individuals living here.
They started from scratch and felt their way.
Most all of the industries of West Bend are owned by local capital.
The people know each other well. The people that work in the factories know the people who manage the business. They went to school together. They grew up in the community. They played baseball and other sports together.
They don't say, hello, Mayor. They call, they say, hello, Mike. And that's true all over the town. No matter how big a man is here or how well thought he is, they call him by their first name usually.
Where an industry starts in a small way, where the proprietor works along with the men that are hired, there is a community of interest which is pretty hard to defeat.
You'll hear it wherever you go in West Bend, home ownership, local capital. You hear of harmony and cooperation, and you see it manifested in the personalities of the people you meet. You hear of harmony, and you hear the harmony itself. You hear of job security, and you see the cheerful, pleasant homes owned by people confident in the stability of their incomes. You hear the cold statistics, telling of West Bend's high degree of industrialization. but around you is the warm revelation of small-town friendliness. West Bend combines the conveniences of a large city with the soul-satisfying closeness to man and nature that only a small community can provide. In the words of Dr. Bernhardt, it's a city with a garden around the outside. And no matter where you live in West Bend, the biggest little city in Wisconsin, you know that the garden is only a few minutes away.
This has been the profile of West Bend, the third documentary in a recorded series entitled Wisconsin Communities. Our special thanks to George Hess, Fred Baxter, and Steve O'Meara, all of West Bend, for their assistance in the preparation of this program. Production and narration was by Carl Schmidt, with technical assistance by Ben Russey. The script was written by Les Nelson, with music provided by Patricia Hazard. This is the Wisconsin College of the Air.